Blog Talk Radio.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no
Heaven broadcast. I hope this series has been a blessing to you. It has been a blessing to me because it pays. It, you know, this text, Proverbs 10:9. Let me read it to you in all of the different translations that we have here. In the King James, it reads like this: "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. But he that perverteth his ways shall be known." The Common English Bible reads like this: "Those who walk in innocence walk in confidence, but those on crooked paths will be found out." The New Revised Standard Version reads, "Whosoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whosoever follows perverse ways will be found out." The New American Bible reads, "He who walks honestly walks securely, but he whose ways are crooked will fare badly." And the New Jerusalem Bible reads, Anyone whose ways are honorable walks secure, but whosoever follows crooked ways is soon unmasked, is soon exposed. The benefits. What are the benefits when you walk uprightly, when you live the right way? What does the Bible teach? You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to be afraid of. But if you are criminal, if your heart is twisted and perverse, and your mind and your hands and your feet give themselves to do evil, you will be arrested. Your face will be on the evening news. Your name on court documents, and not for anything good, for all things infamous. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name. We are your chosen people, elect in Christ before the foundations of the world. We can't even begin to understand what it means to be elect in Christ before you spoke anything into existence. Father, we pray that you would bless us tonight. Bless this study. This study is a mystery. Reveals that in the end, all who are wicked will eventually be exposed. They may not be exposed in the beginning, nor in the middle of their criminality. But in the end, all serial killers get caught. All serial killers get arrested. All serial killers get found out. All who do evil shall be caught. Because you will see to it that they are found out, that they are exposed. Thank you for saving us, not just from sin and death and the devil, but thank you for saving us from us, ourselves. For we were our own worst enemies until Christ rescued us. Bless us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You need to turn to the portion of the outline that reads Saturday, January 6th. That's where we're at today. And what are the benefits of walking uprightly? Well, no man does. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you have lived your life as a model Christian, as a model citizen, you will not be arrested. There will be no criminal prosecutions. I don't have today, as I live my life, I don't have any fear of arrest. I've done nothing wrong. I've walked uprightly. Since I have no fear of arrest, I have no fear of criminal prosecutions. I'm not going to be arrested for anything. I'm not going to be charged with anything. I'm not facing time in jail. I don't fear that. I don't fear going through a trial. Whether the trial be 2 weeks or 3 months, I don't fear a trial. I don't fear a guilty verdict. I have no fear of imprisonment. Not today, not tomorrow. I've done nothing wrong my entire life. Not because I have saved myself, but because Christ saved me and changed me and transformed me. And I am what I am today because of his grace and his mercy and his goodness. Now, that said, you have walked uprightly. I have walked uprightly. You're not looking over your shoulder. The next time a police officer or a state trooper pulls you over, you don't fear you're going to be arrested because in your past, 20 years ago, you committed some crime that now they have your DNA or they have your fingerprints and they can place you at a crime scene. You don't have any fear of that. So man is not against you. No man is looking for you. No agency, no department, no police force, no FBI, no CIA. No one's looking for you. Man is not against you. That said, because you walk uprightly, because you have made up your mind to serve the Lord with everything you've got, rest assured, Satan is against you. Man may not be against you, but Satan is against you. But, again, you have nothing to fear because his flaming darts, remember the Bible speaks in Ephesians chapter 6 of the Christian armor and why we need to have on the Christian armor, because Satan has these flaming arrows, these flaming darts. His darts are completely extinguished, and his schemes to entice us, ensnare us, and destroy us are thwarted by God. They come to naught because God comes to our rescue. Remember, he who walks uprightly walks securely like Job. You have nothing to fear from Satan. Oh, he may have taken notice of you. God may have bragged on you. God may have said, have you considered my servant so-and-so? And Satan says, yes, I have. But my brothers and sisters, I tell you this, if you have walked uprightly like Job, if you have lived the Christian life the way you should live the Christian life, Satan may be against you. But again, what does God do? He completely extinguishes his flaming darts. You are a target. Indeed, you are. You are a target. The enemy of your soul is just that, the enemy of your soul. He hates you. He hates you with a passion. He hates you because you're connected to Christ. He hates you because you belong to Jesus. He hates you because you are redeemed and you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He hates you with an everlasting hatred. But there is a hedge of protection around you. There's a hedge of protection around me. The prophet Jeremiah said, no weapon formed against you shall what? Prosper. I don't care what new weapon Satan creates, what new arsenal he invents. No weapon, past, present, or future, can do you any harm. Why? Because God is your shield. God is your fortress. So no man against you and Satan against you. Now, the beautiful thing is God's for us. God is for us. Because we walk uprightly, we secure God's never-ending care, God's never-ending protection, God's never-ending help in the time of trouble. So you and I are blessed in the Lord. But what are the results of those who pervert their ways? What happens to those who choose not to do the right thing, who decide not to live uprightly, who decide to be as crooked as the old serpent? What happens to those? Well, they eventually get found out. Now, I want to speak to you today about Judas Iscariot, one of the most mysterious characters in the Bible. For me, there are two extremely mysterious characters in Scripture. Two. And they're closely linked together. One is Judas Iscariot. The second individual is the Antichrist. Both of which carried the title Son of Perdition. You know, the Antichrist is called the Son of Perdition by Paul in his epistle to the Thessalonians. But Jesus called Judas Iscariot the Son of Perdition. In other words, if there was a first Antichrist, it was Judas Iscariot. So let's go through some scriptures right now. And of course, Judas, if you read the list of apostles, there are three lists of the 12 apostles. There's a list in Matthew, there's a list in Mark, there's a list in Luke. When you compare all three lists of the apostles, Peter is at the head of that list, and Judas Iscariot is always on the bottom of the list. Peter is always number one, Judas is always number 12. Now, concerning Judas, this is what Jesus said in John 6. Let's start reading in John 6, 65. Open your Bibles to John 6, 65. And this is Jesus speaking. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of Jesus' disciples or students went back. In other words, they quit Jesus. They quit following him. They left his classes. They didn't sit at his feet anymore. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with Jesus no more. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Peter at the top of the list and Judas at the bottom of the list, "Will you go also? Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now look at the next startling statement. Verse 70 is a startling statement. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? Did I not handpick you 12? And one of you is a devil." He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Jesus knew from the very beginning who Judas Iscariot was. He was an instrument of Satan. Now, fast forward 3 years. This is the beginning. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Fast forward 3 years, and here we are at the supper that we were celebrating today at church. And in John 13, verse 1 and 2, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that it was his hour was come that he should depart from this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now notice, Jesus picks 12 disciples. One of them is Judas Iscariot. From the beginning, Jesus said, "Haven't I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. One of you will serve as a tool of Satan." Well, here comes the Passover feast, the third and last Passover feast that Jesus is about to celebrate. And at this time, what does Satan do? He puts it in the heart of Judas to betray Christ. That's the first step. Now, mind you, when Jesus said in John 6, "Haven't I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil?" They're all asking themselves, which one of us is the devil? Nobody knew. Nobody knew. And nobody knew until the very end. Because for 3.5 years, for the most part, everyone was behaving themselves. Every single one of those disciples was following the Lord. Now remember, in John 6, many quit Jesus. Many stopped following Jesus, but the 12 remained. And one of the 12 was destined to be a tool of Satan. But he never showed his hand until the hour of darkness. Then, at that moment in time, Satan put it in Judas's heart to betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Now, we know from other scriptures that Judas was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag, and we know that he had this thing with money. He had this money problem, and no one knew he was stealing except Jesus. Now, Jesus knew all along he was stealing, and Jesus knew all along that he was a devil, and Jesus knew all along that Satan would use him. But no one knew. Why? Because up to that point, seemingly, Judas was walking uprightly. Now, again, he was bad news. He was stealing all that time. He had these weaknesses when it came to money. He was a scoundrel. He was no good and up to no good. But he never revealed his hands to the others. He never showed his evil proclivities to the other 11. Jesus, who is God, who knows all things, knew it from the moment that ministry started. So now, first step, Satan puts it in his heart to betray Jesus. But then if you read down to chapter 13, verse 27, it says, after the meal, Satan entered into him. Notice, first step, Satan put betrayal in his heart. Then second step, Satan put himself in Judas's body. He entered into Judas. He entered into him. He possessed him. In John 17, Jesus is praying in Gethsemane, and this is what he says in verse 12 as he's praying to the Father. While I was with the disciples in this world, I kept them in thy name, Father. Those that you gave me, I have kept them. I have lost none of them except the son of perdition. There is that name, the son of perdition, which is the name for Antichrist. That the scripture, that prophecy might be fulfilled. So, again, Jesus is praying. The disciples don't know who he's talking about. It's all a mystery. It has not been revealed yet. But old crooked Judas is already running over to the chief priest, already receiving the 30 pieces of silver, already on his way to betray the master with a kiss. You see, again, let's go back to the text. Let's go back to Proverbs 10:9. He that walks uprightly walks secure because he's got God on his side. But he who follows crooked or perverse ways will soon be what? Unmasked. The person who is quietly planning evil, the person who is plotting, the person who is scheming, the person who is working for Satan undercover will soon be unmasked. Here comes Judas. He comes with an army of Roman soldiers and police from the temple, comes and he publicly betrays Jesus with a kiss. That's what he did. He betrayed the master with what? With a kiss. Now the other 11 disciples knew who the traitor was. When Jesus first told them at the supper, one of you will betray me, they said, Master, is it me? The other said, Master, is it me? They were in a panic. Lord, is it me? Is it me? No, it was Judas all along. He unmasked himself as a tool of Satan. If you read Acts 1, let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts 1:16, Peter is speaking to the brothers and sisters in the upper room. Men and brethren, this scripture must need have been fulfilled, which was spoken by the mouth of David concerning Judas, which was a guide to them who arrested Jesus. He was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. In other words, he purchased a piece of land with what? Blood money. Sin money. Well, what money was that? The 30 pieces of silver. And it goes on to say, now this man, verse 18, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, falling headlong. He burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in the proper tongue, Al-Sadama, that is to say, the field of blood. Listen, my brothers and sisters. You see, Judas was found out. It was found out how much he betrayed Jesus for. It was found out what he did with the money. It was found out that he committed suicide, that his guts burst asunder. Listen, it ended badly. He who perverts his ways, he who adopts a crooked path, shall be unmasked, shall be found out. Your true nature cannot be hidden for long. Now, Judas was good. He kept it hidden for 3 years. But at the appropriate time, Satan used him. My brothers and sisters, Satan would love to use you and I. But let yourself be used of God. If you're used of God, you will do like Abel. You will walk uprightly. There were two brothers, Abel and Cain. Abel did that which was right in Genesis 4 and was rewarded of God. Cain did that which was wrong and was rejected by God. Read Genesis 4 again. One decided, one brother, born of the same mother and father, having received the same gospel, one brother decided to do what was right, another brother decided to do that which was wrong. And both men went on different paths. The disciples, the 11 disciples, received the same gospel and the same benefits as Judas did. But Judas chose to go wrong. He went bad. It was his choice. Now, why is there tea in the balance? I'll close with one scripture, a scripture I want you to ponder upon. Turn to Mark 14. Mark 14, starting at verse 17. This, again, is a portion of the synoptic account. We have three accounts, synoptic, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is what Mark says. This is concerning the Last Supper, which Jesus instituted. And in the evening, Mark 14:17, and in the evening, he, Jesus, cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him, One by one, is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed. Now this is Christ. This is the Christ. The Son of Man indeed going, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. What man is that? Remember, Jesus is called the Son of Man. Judas is called the son of perdition. Verse 21. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him. It's been prophesied what his death shall be. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. Good. You see, my brothers and sisters, it is good for you to live uprightly. If you live uprightly, you'll go to heaven. But woe unto those individuals who choose the crooked and perverse path. It would have been better for them never to have been born. Why? Because they wind up in the lake of fire. That's where they wind up. They'll wind up where Judas is. They'll wind up where Cain is. They'll wind up where Balaam is. They'll wind up where every person who has chosen the crooked path, they'll wind up where they are. So, again, look at the text. It draws a contrast. It says, he that walketh uprightly, that's you and I, walketh surely. Why are we sure? Why are we secure and sure? Because God approves of us, and God will bless us. But he that perverted his ways shall be known, shall be exposed for what they are, sinners deserving of the lake of fire. Well, next week we'll have a new series, Divine Benefits for Those Who Walk Uprightly. Divine Benefits. The scripture reveals that there are blessings, blessings now and future, for those who make up their mind to live right before the Lord and before man. The scripture for that series, that will bolster that series and anchor that series, is Psalm 84:11, which says, no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. Saints, don't forget to pray. Continue to pray for Sister Caroline Hayes. Our prayers are with her. Also, don't forget to pray for that little girl, Portia. Don't forget to join us this coming Tuesday night for our most important service of the week, our prayer meeting. Love you much in Jesus. Until then, God bless you all.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing. Because they're not new, and I may not.